Welcome to this week's edition of In the Clubhouse with EMD Baseball. I'm Andy Kirikides, joined by my wonderful co-host, Keith Glasser. How we doing?
Great. How are you?
Good. Got a quick update. For those of you who are in the know, the ABCA convention happened this weekend in D.C., kind of. it wasn't actually in D.C. They held it over in the National Harbor, which is in Maryland. Close to D.C., but not D.C. itself, but that's another topic. Basically, at the convention, they do, there's a lot of speakers. They come, they talk about different topics. But another big focus of it is where the division committees, the regional committees, and a lot of the rules for the upcoming year are discussed. And we've talked about this quite a bit recently, and it, for good reason, because it is something that's important. But one of the main topics of conversation at the convention this year was the roster limits. And one of the big questions is, what's the limit going to be for the fall? They've kind of defined that rosters need to be set December 1st. At least that's what the expectation it's going to be formally put into place. But the outstanding question, amongst other questions, is what's the limit going to be? And coming out of the convention, it looks like 38 is going to be the fall limit at the Division I level. Still not official. It does look like it's going to go that way. It seemed that they're, based on reading and following it all on Twitter, it seemed like there was some legitimate consensus that that is a number that is doable, and one that seemed to have a little bit of traction with the coaches. But there's definitely going to be some fallout to this, and it'll be interesting to see kind of how it moves forward. Anything I missed there, Keith?
No, I think the big ticket item would be that this is not official yet. The 38 is the number that was agreed upon at the Division I meeting, and again, this is Division I only. With the roster limits set at 34, and 12-1 is going to be the date you have to get to the 34. And it was interesting, you and I talked about this in the articles that we read, that it said a 34 hard stop, which leads us to believe that everybody is going to be at 34. the 38 number it seemingly is what they settled on to for the fall roster. Now, you know, who knows what that looks like going forward, because you did some quick math and it's like 1200 kids that would be in the portal almost instantly. And that opens up a whole other bag of worms and or Pandora's box, however we want to look at this, because under current rules, you cannot transfer to another Division I school mid-year. And, you know, the reality is it might not be freshmen that are getting cut at 12-1. It could be sophomores and juniors, or seniors for that matter. And, you know, them not being able to secure a spot on another Division I roster that they might be able to play on could lead to some litigation that has been hinted at in a lot of the articles we've read, that people want to avoid that at all costs. So does that open up some other things that could potentially happen? And look, what I'm saying right now is pure conjecture. It is not fact. It is just what I think, having been in this business for as long as I have, that it could lead to some other issues. It could also lead to some other solutions, right? Like it could lead to, you get 38, but you have to declare a 34-man roster and those four kids are redshirted or a taxi squad or whatever, because it might be that, you know, maybe your number one is coming off Tommy John. You don't know if he's going to be available given his rehab. But if he is, maybe that kid gets elevated into the 34-man roster and someone else, number guy 34, now drops into a taxi squad, or, you know, someone blows out over the winter, or, you know, what happens if, you know, one of your starting guys does end up with an injury that puts them out and all of a sudden you're at 33 and another injury puts you at 32 and you're stuck with those numbers. Like what does that do? You know, so there's still some things to be worked out. And again, the 38 is the number that was agreed upon that still has to be voted on by ADs and conferences and the like, and the NCAA to be instituted. So that still remains to be seen. And like I said, the other stuff is just pure conjecture that I just came up with. Not that I came up with it on the spot. This is something I've been thinking about for a while. But like it could open up Pandora's box from that standpoint, and there might be some solutions in there that that could be found. But for now, it's going to be 12-1, December 1st, get to the 34-man roster, and the fall number, it's not going to be unlimited. Nobody put that up for discussion. Nobody wanted to. It doesn't mean they didn't want to. It just wasn't put up for discussion. So unlimited is out of the picture. There's going to be a hard cap on how many student athletes can be on your fall roster, which I think is a win for a lot of people. But, you know, what that looks like moving forward is still up in the air.
I actually thought it was kind of funny because kind of how they start these conversations is they'll basically open up the floor to like, does anybody think that an unlimited roster for the fall? And not a single person spoke up, which I thought was funny. I'm sure there's some guys out there that would love it, but probably knew that that wasn't going to fly.
Well, it wasn't going to pass.
Wasn't going to get any traction. The hard 34 is interesting because I think we just talked about it recently that there was some talk that if you don't opt into the profit sharing, that you may have the flexibility to have the 40-man roster. Once again, none of this is carved in stone. It seems to me that the concrete is starting to dry, but there's still room for some things to be changed. But that hard 34, that's fairly significant because I do think that there was some baseball schools that play big time baseball that are in non power four or football related conferences that are probably sitting there going, I don't know if we're going to opt in. So maybe we get a 40-man roster, but it does make a lot of sense because, you know, you do want it. Not that there's a level playing field across the board because there certainly isn't, but you want to have some uniformity around basic things like roster structure, roster size, across the whole division. So it does make sense. It's a lot of Division I spots that will no longer exist, but we've been preparing for this for quite a long time. And I think getting some more concrete answers or something more close to dried concrete at this point is valuable for people as they navigate this. Whether you're 26 or 27, you want to know what environment you're operating in. And this seems like we're starting to get a little bit of clarity, which is good.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's been a mess lately. I was doing it in person for us a couple of weeks ago, and I was like, under current rules, and if everything stays the same, you know, I hope that we don't get any more changes anytime soon, because I don't know if I can handle it. And I finished that talk. I got home, got on Twitter, and that's when the JUCO thing was announced. I was like, what is happening? And that's a whole, you know, we've done podcasts on that, and that's something we'll continue to talk about in the future. But, you know, I think there's so many things up in the air that, as patient as you want to be to see this process play out, it is getting difficult. It's creating a little bit of angst in the recruiting process for people because schools don't know what it is that they're going to be capable of doing, how many guys they can actually have. They can't overcommit that, but you know, they don't want to miss out on guys, blah, 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 blah. So I think that we'll have a lot more clarity in the next couple of months on what it actually looks like. And I think like anything else, like this might stay for, this might be what it is for the 25-26 school year, right? We might be having this same conversation around this time next year. I think the convention is a little bit later next year. There might be rule changes and things that are discussed at the convention next year being like, hey, last year was an unmitigated disaster with how we handled this. Like we need to have a little bit of a different, we need to take a different approach to what this looks like. And I think that this is true for a lot of sports. But I also think that it's, you know, everything is so new with NIL and getting rid of the NLI and how players are, you know, specifically at the Division I level are getting compensated and what that all looks like, that I think this is going to be fluid for the next couple of years before they kind of, we really figure out what it is that works best within our sport. Because it's not going to be the same as football or basketball or, you know, lacrosse or name the sport. Every sport is going to be different. And I think it's going to be a rather fluid process for the next couple of years as they figure this stuff out. So even if it does get passed, I wouldn't be shocked if it's changed in another year or two.
Yeah, because we, you know as well as I do, that if enough of the big dogs speak up about not liking how something's going to work, it's going to get evaluated. It's at least going to get looked at. And I think the 34-man roster makes a lot of sense for a lot of different reasons. But what that fall limit, does that work? How do you compensate for injuries? Taxi squad, do red shirts not count against your roster? Like, I think to your point, there's some adjustments that'll likely be made to this, but as it stands right now, this seems to be the path forward that the Division I baseball is going to go down. And you know, as we've spoken about, this has a trickle down effect all the way down to junior college baseball. So,
well, and I think too, like you and I talked about this today, that you know, it's we're one recruiting cycle removed from 35, mm-hmm. but I also can see the argument from the other side of, like, yeah, we are at 35, but, you know, we got to 40 and we had more success with that. Like, what does that look like? You know, and I know the numbers are, you know, the NCAA is going to sponsor 34 full scholarships, which again, we'll never get to, but, you know, with revenue sharing and such, like you can make it, you know, almost to where everyone's on a full ride. You know, and it's almost like the tooth, you know, you might not be able to get the toothpaste back into the tube. From that standpoint, and in an attempt to do it right now, like it might open up a lot more issues that we've kind of not necessarily thought of, or you know that could happen, but we're trying to avoid. And you know, I just, like I said, I think that it's, well, yes, we're not far removed from 35. It also went to 40, and people found a lot of success with that. Like, if you told me that it was going to be a hard, like 34 with six walk-ons and you're at a 40 number, I think you might be able to satisfy a lot more people if this doesn't work out. You know, but I think, you know, like I said, this is so new and so fluid that they're going to try to, you know, more or less put a roll of a couple strips of duct tape on a fire hose and hope that this is going to work. And I don't necessarily know if it will. Obviously I hope that it does, but you know, I have a sneaking suspicion that this is going to be, you know, changed again in the very near future.
Mark it down.
These are just my personal feelings. Like, you know, like when people put in their Twitter bio, like
Glastradamus,
you know, my opinions are my own. Like, these are, like, I really haven't talked to a lot of people about this. So these are just my own personal feelings on what I think could potentially happen.
Yeah. And I think there's obviously, your opinions are rooted in experience and conversations that we've had with a lot of coaches, and we'll see where it goes. I think the positive is that there at least seems to be some clarity starting to take shape on the immediate future. Which is a big next step, but we've seen some significant changes to the baseball recruiting landscape in the last 18 months. After a fairly long period of pretty steady rules. I mean, obviously the pandemic changed some stuff, but that was inevitable. But prior to that, the rules were pretty straightforward and not a lot had changed. So, we'll see what
the other one, not to get off topic, but the other one was the 35 days in the spring, which,
oh yeah,
you know, we kind of had when you and I played,
you know, 35 days.
Being that you start practice 3 weeks preceding opening day, you're going to get 35 days to practice before opening day, which, you know, instead of 21 or, you know, 18, that's, you got to have an off day in there. Like, that's, you're doubling your amount of time that you can practice, which, you know, look, I get, like, the lead up time and the, you know, doing it safely. Like, I get the argument behind it. you know, but it's, you know, for a lot of programs, that's putting a strain on facilities and things of that nature. And, you know, some programs aren't going to be able to really do the whole 35, and, you know, maybe you do 24 or 30, whatever it might be. And, you know, do individuals, cause I'm sure you'll have the option to do it however you want. But, you know, I think it's, I see I see the argument for it, but I also think, like, when we played at Marist and you're inside from, you know, the Tuesday after Martin Luther King Jr. Day until mid-February, like, it is, even before that, I guess we started school before that. Like, yeah, it is a grind being inside all day for so long, you know? So it'll be interesting to kind of see what that looks like as well. Cause if you don't have the facilities and you have to go pay and budgets are getting slashed, like, you know, that's going to be a tough shake for some people.
We will find out, but more to come on this for sure. As we hear stuff, we'll be sure to get it up on the interwebs, via the podcast and YouTube, but we'll keep you posted on this and anything else that we're hearing, as far as any other potential changes, but this seems to be the most up to date. Nothing in concrete yet, but it seems like we're getting closer to a final solution around the roster stuff. So anything else, Coach?
Nope.
All right. Well, thank you for listening, everybody. Check in next week. Talk to you then. Thank you for listening this week. If you're watching on YouTube, go ahead and hit that subscribe button and smash that like button for us. Check us out on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, as well as Spotify. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at EMDBaseball. If you want to find out what me and Keith do to help families and players navigate the recruiting process, go ahead and check us out on EMDBaseball.com. Take a few minutes to check out our new online academy. I promise you'll get some good information out of that. Thanks again for listening. Check in with you next week.